I greet you in the name of Jesus. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father, from Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to bid each and every one of you a hearty welcome here this morning. And I'll have to apologize that we're a little bit late. When we left home, the weather conditions were quite bad. We had snowstorm and icy roads, and didn't want to go all that way to New Bothwell like that, so I called Brother Jake and asked how things were here, and he said it was just raining a little bit. So I thought from there on maybe the roads would be getting better, and they eventually did. But ek wil maar intoestoon, te laat waar ik toch nog een vader zou. But God has blessed us with a rainy day, and we need that rain also. But let us unite our hearts for our opening prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all the privileges and joys that you give us. We also thank you for the hunger that you have put in us for you. And we thank you for the spiritual food that comes to us through the reading of your word. And we also thank you for the strength of the soul that comes through prayer and worship. And Heavenly Father, we also pray that you would be with us here in spirit and lead and guide our worship service. And we thank you for the time of grace that you have given us, and help us to use this time for what you intended it to be used, to prepare ourselves for the time when your Son Jesus is coming in to take us home with him. And Heavenly Father, as we go, we'll be looking into the Catechism of the Articles of Faith. We just ask that we will get some clear understanding on your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
In the blue hymnal, number 365, Trust and Obey. Feel free to stand.
Trust and obey.
194, Rescue the Perishing. Surely goodness and mercy.
Oh,
This morning we want to learn at least three things from the Articles of Faith today. One is we want to learn who God is, and we want to learn how can we know God, and also what is the power that comes along with this. When we go to the first question in our catechism, it asks, what should be our chief aim in this life? And the answer is to live in God's fellowship and grace, enjoy his favor, and obtain eternal happiness hereafter. That should be our chief aim here in this life. Our chief aim in this life should not be trying to get ahead in this world, but our chief aim should be to live in the fellowship of God. And when we live in the fellowship of God, we can enjoy his grace and his mercy and have eternal life ever after. But we have to also realize that this God, he is in control of everything. I want to start off with our first article. It says, of God, the creator of all things. Now this past week, probably all heard in the news that I forget which day it was Earth Day. And we see how Satan is trying to twist the mind of us Christians, that we will honor the creation rather than the creator. Yes, God has given us this world to live in. And he has made it so it will sustain itself. And yes, we need to be good stewards of this earth. But to go as far to put days aside and honor the creation, that is not right. Yes, God has made it. But we need to also remember that God is in control of everything. So we start off with, we believe in our hearts and confess it with our mouth, in company with all the great patriarchs and prophets and chosen children of God who have lived from the beginning, inspired by the Holy Spirit in an everlasting, almighty, and incomprehensible God, one who has created heaven and earth and all things visible and invisible, as stated in Genesis 1. So everything has been created by God. And he still sustains, governs, and supports with his mighty word all things. And sometimes we do question, especially powers that God has put into place. How could he do that? It's all for a reason, all for a purpose. God looks upon this earth and sees the whole thing. And we only see a small part. And of course, his purpose for everything is salvation. That everything that he does, people should be able to have this opportunity. It says he is holy, entirely complete, a mysterious spiritual being, as our Savior himself testifies in John 4:24, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And that is why the world does not understand him. But we understand him because we have that spirit. We need to live in that spiritual realm, not in that carnal realm where we lived in before we were born again. It says he proceeds from himself and does not need help from anyone. as Paul writes in Acts 17:25. Neither is he worshipped with man's hands as though he needed anything, seeing he has given to all life, breath, and all things. He is everlasting, without beginning or end, and eternal and almighty God, Lord of the heavenly hosts, a King of kings, who is above all and through all and in you all. Ephesians 4, verse 6. A righteous judge, 2 Timothy 4:8. A consuming fire, Hebrews 12:29. A jealous God, who will visit the iniquities of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generations of them that hate him. So yes, he is a jealous God. If we worship anything other than God, he is jealous. And his wrath will be shown. In Exodus 25, he is honest and just. He does not make any mistakes. He is holy and merciful, a God of love and compassion. And he is a God which no one has seen nor will see, and dwells in the light to which no man can come. Who only has immortality, dwelling in the light to which no man can approach unto, whom no man has ever seen or can see. 1 Timothy 6:16. The heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Isaiah 66:1. He is present everywhere. He sees all things, and no one can hide from his presence, so that God will not see him. So this God, he sees everything in this world. We cannot hide anything from him. We can hide things from people, but not from God. So whatever we do, he is seeing it. Proverbs 15:3. Then for all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Hebrews 4:13. Of such ever-present God we speak. It is written in Isaiah 42:8, I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. He is God alone and no one else. We want to go to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So that, going back to that first question in our catechism, we should seek God first. When we seek God first, all other things we can say would fall in place. Because he has the perfect plan for us. And if we follow his perfect plan, that will lead to eternal life in heaven. Everything must be obedient to his holy will. For his word is truth, and his commands are righteous. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood. Psalm 33, 4 and 9. In the Lord we have righteousness and strength. Before him all knees shall bow, and all tongues shall confess him. Isaiah 45, 23 and 24. To this great Lord and God, we must cling with a living and an everlasting faith and be obedient to him. For if we want to learn to call our God Abba, dear Father, then we owe it to him to show him childlike obedience and to love him with all our strength, with our whole heart and soul and mind, according to Matthew 22, 37. Yes, this God We could say, remembered the fellowship that he had with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. And when we read that in Genesis, it's paradise. It's beautiful. He had a real relationship. But when mankind, Adam and Eve, sinned, that relationship was broken. It was gone. And we can be ever so thankful that God still remembered that relationship that he had with mankind there in the Garden of Eden, that he wanted to have that relationship again. And that relationship could only be through his son, Jesus Christ, which will be the next article. Yes, when God created everything, he looked down upon earth and he says it was good. Everything had gone according to his plan. And then Adam and Eve sinned. Was he prepared for this? Yes, he was. He's all-knowing. Yes, what was God's plan of salvation? Why? Because of his great love towards us. He could have done without us. He was living with his son in paradise. But he wanted that relationship again with us. Yes, God looked further than our faults. He saw our needs. We are a privileged people. That this God that has created everything, that is in control of everything, would want to call us his children. And so he had this plan. Of sending his son to die on the cross so that we could have everlasting life in heaven. And his son, Jesus, came. We want to go to John chapter 10. Chapter 10. The last part of verse 10. These are the words of Jesus where he says, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Yes, Jesus came not for us only to survive, but he came so that we could thrive in this life. And if we are only in this survival mode, then Jesus hasn't come for us. But if we have life abundantly, then Jesus has come for us. And the only way we can have life abundantly is if we accept him as our personal Savior. I'm going to start with Article 2. We also believe in and confess Jesus Christ, the true Son of the everlasting God, who is called the Word, which has been with God from eternity, the light and glory of his Father, according to Hebrews 1. Through him the earth and all things were created, as stated in the Gospel of John 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And the epistle to the Hebrews testifies in chapter 1, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers through the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. In the Old Testament, in the old days, we could say, God spoke to the people through prophets, and the prophets went to the people. But now he has sent his Son to speak to us. And that is a personal relationship that we can have with God's Son. And God's Son was there when everything was created. And God's Son also knew that when God sent him down to earth, what lay before him. And he was willing to do that. And yet, the last day, when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he asked his Father if it was possible to do it a different way. But he finishes off, not my will, but thy will. And we can be so thankful that it was his Father's will that his Son would have to do that for us. He did everything that was necessary for our salvation. There is nothing that we can add or make better. And if there was anything that we could do for our salvation, we would never know if we had done enough. If we saw our neighbor doing more than we were doing, we would feel guilty. We would think we haven't done enough. But Jesus has done it all. And his last words on the cross were, "It is finished." Nothing more needs to be done. But Jesus, we know how heavy laden he was. He went into the Garden of Gethsemane. It says his sweat was like blood drops. You would think he'd have enough on his mind going to the cross. But he thought of us. He prayed for us. He asked his Father that we would not be lost. That's the Son that God has, that he sent. And there is one other very important thing that Jesus told us. He said there is only one way to God, and that was through him. John 14:6. I am the way, the life, and the truth. No man cometh to the Father but by me. We are living all this. Again, a privileged people that we can do that. And then after Jesus arose from the grave, he came back and to his disciples, and he gave them comfort. And that's what the third article is all about. In John chapter 14. John chapter 14, starting with verse 16. This is just before Jesus ascended into heaven. And he says, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you." Yes, Jesus did not leave us alone in this world. He said he would pray the Father and send a comforter. And that is what happened. God sent this comforter, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit that indwells in every believer. And this Holy Spirit not only leads and guides us to that eternal home, but this Holy Spirit is also for us to use as we as pilgrims are going through this world. We will be facing trials and temptations. And this Holy Spirit that is in us will give us the power to resist. When Jesus was or had been fasting 40 days and 40 nights, Satan came to him, and he knew Jesus would be hungry, and he tempted him with this bread. He says, if you turn this bread into stone, or this stone into bread, you can eat it. And there was two other temptations. And Jesus finally said, get thee hence, Satan. And Satan had no different recourse but to leave. And brothers and sisters, this same Spirit that Jesus used to tell Satan to get thee hence is in you, is in me, and can be used. This Holy Spirit is the most powerful spirit in this world. And we as children of God have that Spirit in us. Let's go to that article of God the Holy Spirit. We also believe in and confess the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, which proceeds from the Father, John 15:26. Of the Spirit, David said in Psalms 33:6, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth. He is the only consolation of the afflicted, the power of God from on high. Luke 24. Yes, this Holy Spirit was there also with God when he created everything. This Holy Spirit leads us in all truth, and all who are moved by the Spirit of God are children of God. We talk about faith, that we will have eternal life in heaven. How do we know? None of us have ever been there. But we have two witnesses. The Holy Spirit that is in us and the Holy Word. They both give us that assurance that our faith is true. Says the Holy Spirit leads us in all truth, and all who are moved by the Spirit of God are children of God. Not only do we have that Spirit in us, but we are a child of God. In Romans 8. Now, if any man has not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Very straightforward, black and white. Either you have the Spirit or you don't have the Spirit. And if you have the Spirit, you are Christ. And if you don't, you are not Christ. Through this Spirit, we examine all things. Also, the mysteries of God. 1 Corinthians 2:10. That's how we can discover the mysteries of God or learn of the mysteries of God. Through the Spirit that is in us. And he that searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit. But God has revealed unto us by the Spirit that we are the children of God. That is the witness that we have. In 2 Peter 1:21 we read, "For the prophecy came not in old times by the will of man, but holy men of God speak as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit also moved the apostles of the Lord to speak in many tongues of the mighty works of God, and to praise and to glorify his name before all people," in Acts 5. In Isaiah 11:2, the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And through him be praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from now and to all eternity. Amen. So that is the Trinity: God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. These three were all there when everything was created. They all have a purpose. And we just want to thank God that he has counted us worthy to be his children. Yes, God does not want the death of a sinner. He has paid the price with his Son for every soul. And when Jesus went to the cross, yes, the physical torture that he received was almost unbearable. But what was heaviest on his mind or on his heart and his soul were at that time on the cross, he took upon himself the sins of the whole world, the sins that had been, that were being done, that were going to be done. And just imagine how heavy that must have been. But he did not do that alone. God the Father gave him the strength to do that. And that is the realm we are living in. It is different from the world. So as it said, we cannot expect the world to understand us. And likewise, we do not understand the world. Amen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the comfort of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us unite our hearts for closing prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your presence here this morning. We thank you for loving us before we loved you. Had you not done this, we would all be lost. We thank you for that love you sent, your own Son, Jesus, who died for our sins, that only through his blood that he shed at Calvary can we have eternal life. We thank you for the Comforter that you sent us, the Holy Spirit, who not only protects us from the evil spirits, but also leads and guides us to that eternal home. We ask, Heavenly Father, that you continue to give us the strength that we can resist the devil. May we use your wisdom to help your kingdom grow. And Lord, we thank you for the gift of baptism, where we are buried with Christ, raised with Christ, and reborn of the Holy Spirit. May you lead and guide us to their eternal home. We pray this in our Savior's name. Amen. We always have an opportunity to pray, not only here, but also at home. We can call upon the Lord in the morning and evening, and so let us kneel in prayer. May the Lord hear our prayers and be merciful unto us. I want to thank you all for coming this morning and partaking in our worship service and song and prayer, and the Lord will truly bless you for that. Let us unite for the benediction. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. And may you go in the peace of the Lord.